I was reading an article by the excellent Ground Up News Service about some clear messages which have been sent by two rental tribunal judgments. They both relate to properties in Salt River. In one, an 81-year-old who's lived on Goldsmith Street in Salt River for 51 years with her son, his wife, and two children, she was told 2 years ago by her landlord that he wanted to maintain the property. He needed her to leave the property so he could do some maintenance work on it. And he said to her, "If you don't go, I will evict you without notice and it will be to your cost." That went to the Western Cape Rental Housing Tribunal, where Hendricks was represented by Indifuno Kwazi Law Centre, and the landlord was forced to concede that actually he wasn't planning to maintain it, but he was planning to get a more, what he thought was market-related rental, and that was the reason why he had tried to get rid of Zubeda Hendricks. He was told to reverse that decision immediately. And then the other story is of Omar and Faiza Sali, senior citizens who have been living in a house on Goldsmith Street for 36 years. Combined pension, 3,600 rand a month. They don't have a rental agreement, but their rent has been increasing by 10% a year for literally 30 years. But 4 years ago, it increased by 25%. And then in January 2018, by a further 36% after a regular 10% increase just 3 months earlier. Again, represented by Indifuno Kwazi Law Center. Again, the tribunal saying, that ain't going to happen. Jonty Cogger is an attorney at Indifuno Kwazi Law Center. Jonty, a very good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm very well, and yourself?
Good.
I hope nobody's going to evict me from the deck of the Queen Elizabeth anytime soon. I'm not paying any rent, let it be said. Jonty, are these two cases kind of symptomatic of the work that the tribunal is doing? Do we assume that the tribunal is actually acting efficiently and judiciously?
I'm not actually aware of any other case, maybe perhaps by another communique case where the tribunal did say that certain rentals were exorbitant. But as far as I'm aware, these types of cases are quite isolated. So in as much as they have the power to declare what is a fair and equitable rent, I'm not entirely sure whether or not these powers have actually been utilized by members of the public, hence why in different quasi sought to go to the tribunal to see how they would exercise these powers.
But certainly your brief experience in these two cases is that the tribunal is prepared to make that difficult balancing act between the interests of the landlord and the interests of the tenant. And when, as in these two cases, our law, our constitution, our social justice clearly requires the law to come down on the side of the tenant, it's prepared to do so.
John, it wasn't always clear-cut. I mean, obviously I'm elated with the ruling, both of the rulings, but at the time of taking the cases, of course I wasn't entirely sure how the tribunal would rule. But of course, I mean, this shows that they are prepared to act when it's necessary, because the Rental Housing Act does give them powers to make these types of rulings. I mean, so obviously it's great that they are exercising those powers.
We get a lot of, it's something that we talk about quite often on the radio, disputes between tenants and landlords, and it's nice to be able to know that we must, you know, put the rental housing tribunal not under pressure, but make them work, and we must say to people, well, go there and see what they say about your case.
I mean, the rental housing tribunal is supposed to be a layman's-friendly approach to the landlord-tenant disputes. So it's there to be accessed by members of the public at no cost, and also you don't really need an attorney to represent you. So yes, by all means, members of the public must refer disputes to the tribunal. That's not to say that obviously all disputes will fall within their jurisdiction, but if they do, of course, the tribunal does have the power to adjudicate on them.
One of the things that we often hear, because we have a lot of landlords as well as tenants who listen to us and who contribute when we're having this kind of discussion, and the sense I get from the landlords is that they feel that the law is structured very, that the tenant has all the rights, that the landlord has very few rights. In these two cases where you got involved, it seems to me absolutely clear-cut that the landlord was acting ultra vires. But sometimes it gets a little bit more not so easy to determine. I mean, what's your sense of whether the legislation is even-handed or whether it favours tenant or landlord?
I think the legislation is very even-handed. I mean, in the cases the clients that I represented, all the landlord had to do was serve a correct notice to vacate, which he didn't, and also not increase the rent by exorbitant amounts. I mean, if it's that's fair, that's just and equitable for both sides. So if there is a perception that the law is kind of geared towards only protecting tenants, then I'm not entirely sure where that's coming from. At least from my experience working in urban land justice in Cape Town, countless evictions are granted routinely by the Cape Town Magistrates Court, the Wynberg Magistrate Court, even in some cases where tenants aren't legally represented. So from my perspective, it's the other way around. Tenants are prejudiced by, you know, a system where they don't really have that much access to legal representation and have quite low security of tenure.
And again, based on your experience with the Housing Tribunal and your knowledge of what is happening in those magistrates' courts where these countless evictions notices are being served, would some of those cases before the magistrates' court have perhaps been better dealt with and more sympathetically dealt with by the Housing Tribunal?
Had they been legally represented?
No, I mean just generally, is the approach of the magistrates' court perhaps more legalistic than is the Housing Tribunal, and one might have, I don't want to say an easier ride of it, but because it's layman friendly, perhaps it's less intimidating than a magistrates' court, and people should resort more to the Housing Tribunal to at least ask them if their case falls within their jurisdiction.
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I don't know. I mean, of course, it's good that the tribunal is layman's friendly. I'm not entirely sure if the magistrates' court would act any differently if it was okay. Geared in such a way. Maybe I'm not understanding your question properly. But certainly the magistrates.
I suppose I'm saying, should more people be going to the Housing Tribunal? You know, you're being taken to the magistrates' court and say, I'm going to the Housing Tribunal because it is layman friendly. I can't afford a lawyer. If I go into the legalistic environment of a magistrates' court, I'm probably going to be evicted from my home. So let's go to the Housing Tribunal.
Yes, I mean, if a dispute falls within the jurisdiction of the Housing Tribunal, then of course. Tenants must refer disputes, but then if it doesn't, then of course they can't. What's actually interesting about the Rental Housing Act is that it puts a 3-month moratorium on any eviction once a dispute is validly lodged at the tribunal. So that is another mechanism in favor of tenants, but I would think that's one that is necessary in order to see the full functioning of the tribunal.
Thank you very much, Jonty Cogga, an attorney at Ndifuno Gwazi Law Centre. So keep the Renting Housing Tribunal on your radar as a tenant or as a landlord. As Jonty said, maybe the particular dispute that you're having, either, well, you know, whichever side of the fence you're sitting, might not be within the jurisdiction of the tribunal, but it's worth trying.